This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Every single night.
Which is why... I have to steal it.
What are you talking about, Willis?
This is Primetime with Isaac and Suk.
It's gonna work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible.
The best in local, regional, and national sports.
With no hidden agenda.
Primetime with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Ahoy, fine people of Portland and the metro area. Jason Sakanik alongside the wonderful boy banged... Andrew Nemec.
Boy banged?
Yeah, you got a Bieber thing happening. Because like
boy,
you
might want to say that in a different way,
I think
way,
that's
please.
Probably not the way you want to say that.
That's exactly the way I want to say that.
Please no.
No.
Yeah, please do not say that again. That's very uncomfortable.
Boy banged Andrew Nemec.
Are
you talking about my hair or my profession?
I am talking about your hair.
Because you tease me about hounding high school boys for information.
Get your mind out of the gutter.
Boy banged
is merely talking about the fact that you have a very, 13-year-old BTS boy bang sort of thing happening right now. There's a swoop to it.
You
remember,
had.
Years ago, remember when Bamba bangs were a thing? You know, that was in the height of the young Justin Bieber thing. That's
I'm
what
refusing
you got going
to play
on.
Along at this point. I'm
Look,
refusing.
It's not my fault that you decided to take this to a negative place.
Oh, my goodness.
I was being honest. I was being naive. I was merely I was merely just talking about your hair. And now you and Mike both have taken it someplace dirty.
Can I just tell you that I listened into the show yesterday?
Yes.
And your opens the last 2 days make me genuinely miss one Isaac Robb. You're real high on Panda Express, and you call me the boy banged Andrew Nemec.
I don't know.
And I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, this right here, buddy.
You're lucky that I wasn't able
you
to bring...
You can't see that on the radio, but it's probably a good thing because it would be sensitive.
He was telling me that I was number one.
Yes.
I was trying to acquire us some Panda Express, Little Caesars, Taco Bell, and McDonald's today for the program. But the problem is I ended up over in Portland. So all of those are within 2 miles of my house. So I was just going to swing by and pick them up. But then my brother showed up at my house with an early Christmas gift, which, by the way, was the most amazing thing of all time. My brother, who is hands down the best gift giver that I've ever known. I mean, it's legendary.
Like he's very thoughtful or
yes.
Just it's cool stuff?
Both.
Or both. Yeah,
yeah, he comes up with super thoughtful stuff, but he comes up with just really cool stuff. And he brought one over as an early birthday present for me so that I could experience this over the holiday season. He got me an advent calendar, but instead of little chocolates, it's a wooden Nakatomi Tower, and there's a Hans Gruber that with each day he falls.
Oh.
And so it's a reverse countdown. It starts on December 25th, and then it goes all the way down to floor number one. So it's not the holiday season until Hans Gruber takes a nosedive off of the Nakatomi Tower. And he brought it over today, and then we ended up kind of chatting, and then I had to bolt, head over to Portland to run a couple errands, and then I was forced to try to piece together our fast food, our Panda Express taste test, and it was nothing was centrally located. I found a Panda Express and a Wendy's, but then the Little Caesars and the Taco Bell and everything else, it was too crisscrossy, and so we weren't able to do it. So next week, when I'm at the home location, I will have to be able to bring in the taste test to get Mike Lynch to admit that he was wrong about Panda Express and that the orange chicken is delightful.
I listened yesterday, and you did move the goalpost.
With your boy bangs? Is that when you were listening?
Now, see, that would have been okay to say boy bangs, not boy banged. Andronymic. That's the ED at the end is a real crucial addition in that discussion.
As it is for most
you
men.
You originally said that Panda was top three of like the
all fast food.
And well, specifically, I thought of like the bastard versions of great food.
That's what I said.
Like you could get cheap Mexican food or cheap burgers.
I said it's on the metal stand.
Then you moved the goalposts and said, Mike, I'm going to give you four of the worst possible fast food things you could have. And if you pick Panda Express at the top, you were wrong.
Right.
Which doesn't match the original argument.
Is Panda, which I consider great, is what you're saying, better than McDonald's cheap hamburger, Little Caesar's $5 pizza,
and like what,
Taco Bell taco?
Not even like good items from. So you're picking Panda's arguably their best item, and by the way, Panda's terrible. But you're picking orange chicken, which is good. You didn't pick shrimp, thank God. Against McDonald's worst thing, against Little Caesar's worst thing.
Okay, and then flexing like Little Caesar's only has one thing. And McDonald's
I don't know. I know they have a $5 hot and ready or something like
that. That's all it is. And McDonald's make like you can't say that's the worst thing at McDonald's. That's what McDonald's is known for.
Big Mac is what they're known for.
Okay. Yeah, their Big Mac is what they're
known
for.
Not just a cheap burger.
Oh, as if the Big Mac is not a cheap burger.
Well, Big Mac is better than a single cheeseburger.
Then I will I will bring in the Big Mac.
Okay.
I will bring in two patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun.
I want Popeyes
and
with red beans and rice.
Orange chicken will still be better.
Oh, wow.
Popeyes with red beans and rice.
Well, there's not a Popeyes by me, so
there's a Popeyes by me.
Well, then you can bring in your
own
Popeyes.
And Popeyes will win. Or Chick-fil-A if we bring in a Chick-fil-A. Well, those two things will win.
But that's different. Again.
It's not different.
That's not bastard.
You said top three of fast food. I just gave you two.
Chick-fil-A is a cut above.
Okay.
It is.
It's fast food.
Is
it on the metal
it's
stand?
It's quick food done well.
There's a drive-thru, sir.
They make a strong bird. Lots of places have drive-thrus. Liquor stores have drive-thrus. You can't be making those sorts of bold statements saying that just because you have a drive-thru means you're garbage.
Chick-fil-A is fast food. There is no one who will say Chick-fil-A is not fast food. It's delicious fast food.
Yeah, but that's like saying the Cheesecake Factory and Red Robin are the same thing. They're both TGI McScratchies.
No.
One is at a different level.
Chick-fil-A does count as fast food.
And by the way, if you go to Popeyes, good luck, because they won't get your order right, they won't have what you want, and you'll probably get shanked during the chickening. You will not find worse customer service or a bigger S show than going to a Popeyes chicken.
We have to pivot for a second.
I don't know if I agree with that. I've had plenty of fine experiences.
We have
Popeyes.
To go back to the boy bang thing one more time.
Yeah.
Because apparently, as a reader or as a listener pointed out, I talked about adding ED to it, not thinking of just the word. But then I started talking about ED, adding ED at the end.
Which is why I made the joke that is important for all men.
And the text line is not happy with me that
I did not take it to a negative place. I was merely referring to your little boy bangs there that you are wearing on the top of your head. You have to admit those are very swept boy bangs. That's what those are. That is a Justin Bieber like sweep of the hair. I'm not saying that it looks poor, but let's call a spade a spade. You have a 12-year-old boy's haircut right now because it's framed by the headphones there.
Okay.
And we just have a nice little sweep there.
It's very Beatles-ish.
Yeah, there you go. If you'd rather that.
I'd rather. Than boy banged? Yeah, I'd rather.
Well, from now on, I refer to it as the love me do or the he's only 17.
There you go. I'm good with that.
Would you, a little bit of Hey Jude. Would you prefer that? We have a busy show today. We've got Jason Quick will join us at 3:30. We'll talk something about the Portland Trailblazers. I need Quick to give me a reason to at least mildly care about what the hell is going on with the Blazers right now. Maybe he's made some progress on the whole Neil Olshey, John Gruden hit job. Did you see that one today? Did you see Brett Musburger?
No.
He called Gruden's a professional hit job.
Oof.
So maybe we got a little something there. We'll make our picks, Dave Bartu. We'll make our college and NFL picks against the spread. We'll do that at 4. We'll set your DVR at 5:15. And then Joey Harrington will join us, not on a football Friday, but on a semi-football Thursday because we don't have a show tomorrow because of the Pac-12 title game. Suddenly, a lot to get to. And, of course, your hair.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot to get to. We got a Pac-12 title game to preview.
Yes.
It's huge.
Well, we had a nice little preview yesterday about it, but it is kind of a big deal because when you think about it, Rose Bowl, Alamo Bowl. It's like that's kind of the what's on the line here.
And the drop-off in the Pac-12 of the Power Fives, it might be the biggest drop-off from first to second bowl. The Rose Bowl, granddaddy of them all.
Yeah.
The second bowl is a ho-hum bowl. Every other conference, it seems like, has two or three pretty good bowls.
Do they?
If you drop from one to two in the Pac-12, it gets ugly quick bowls.
I would assume that, I mean, New Year's Six bowls for some programs, honestly, like Alabama. Alabama's a school that if
we're not talking about Alabama.
I know. I'm just saying Oregon had a little bit of that. Back in the day, I remember Oregon going to play in the Fiesta Bowl against Kansas State and people not giving two rips. Now, they beat the bejabbers out of them because it was Kansas State and they sucked. But I remember there was some fatigue there. USC back in the day was complaining about going to play in another Rose Bowl. So it is. I mean, I think it's all relative depending on where your program is. Like getting to a Rose Bowl should be the pinnacle. I mean, that's awesome. I wonder, though, honestly, after two straight Pac-12 titles, if Oregon gets to a Rose Bowl, some players, I'm not saying all, but I wonder if some players, if maybe they roll their eyes a little bit, because the idea that the college football playoff hasn't negatively impacted bowl games, that's a farce.
Serious question.
Yeah.
Oregon already played Ohio State.
Yeah.
If they make the Rose Bowl and play Ohio State again, and you're Kayvon Thibodeau. Now, we've seen this as a trend. I'm not throwing Kayvon Thibodeau under the bus. He's just obviously going to be a top five pick. Does he sit out the bowl game? Guys do it all the time. And he's already won Rose Bowls.
I would.
Okay.
Like I think there's a difference between... There's a difference between like someone like me. Like when if you told me that I get to play in a Rose Bowl, right? And I'm trying to be like a mid-round NFL prospect and, you know, I'm going to maybe hang on for a couple years. I didn't have any visions of grandeur in the NFL. The idea of me skipping a Rose Bowl would be ridiculous. My senior year, we were a game away from being the first BCS Busters. Had we beaten Hawaii, there was a chance we could have gone and played in the Fiesta Bowl. We were like 8th or 9th in the country. We're like 12-0 or whatever it was. And the idea of skipping that bowl game, I can't fathom it. But right. if you're Thibodeau and you're going to be the number one or number two or number three overall pick, like he's not slipping any further than that. I don't know if he goes number one overall. I'll bet you he gets picked apart a little bit in the draft evaluation. Just my hunch when actually people sit down and evaluate his tape, I'll bet you he slips a little bit. I don't think he goes number one overall. I don't think he's the best defensive player in the country. I think he's got a lot of potential, but I think when you look at his measurables versus some of the athletic freaks that have come in years past and you put on his film, I'll bet you he slides a little bit. But he's clearly not sliding that far. And you've got millions of dollars at stake, and you've already been to the Rose Bowl. You've won these sorts of things. You've already played. Well, I guess he didn't play Ohio State.
He hasn't, but Oregon has.
Oregon has. Look, I wouldn't fault him one bit. And if I were him and I were his advisors, I would just put on tape of Jalen Smith, Notre Dame, right? Cowboys linebacker.
That's such a horrible story.
It is a horrible story, but it's the truth.
Yeah, it is the truth.
You know, Brian Kelly just left Notre Dame, and Notre Dame has a chance to go play in the college football playoff. At least they'll be in the New Year's Six Bowl, and Brian Kelly didn't care about that. Why? Because it was the best for him, right? We'll talk about this when we come back, because all this stuff about the shifting sands of college football, I think one thing to me in the world of college football has become abundantly clear over the last, let's say, 6 to 12 months. And I think it directly impacts what we're talking about here with Kayvon Thibodeau. Because I do think that's an interesting topic that you bring up. Does he sit out this bowl game?
And I'm not saying he's going to.
No.
But I think it's not just a given that he's going to play in it. He's been banged up this year, and guys sit out all the time when they're top five picks.
So we'll talk about that. You've got primetime here, a Suk Nemec Lynch edition right here, 1080 The Fan.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details.
Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
That's right. Log on to 1080thefan.com. Scroll down just a scooch, and you can find our wonderfully crafted 1080thefan.com poll question that Lynch does every day. How bad will baseball's lockout be? Not bad. They'll come to an agreement in the next month or so. Pretty bad. They're going to cut it close, but agree before spring training or terrible games will get canceled. Log on to 1080thefan.com. I did see today where baseball replaced all of the players' images on all Major League Baseball websites.
Yes, they're now just
it's just generic.
Like, gray heads.
Yeah. If you go like click on someone's profile, like Mike Trout or whatever, it's like the old college football games where it was just like Oregon quarterback number 8 from Hawaii, but it was just the gray blank screen.
I find that to be extremely petty. And I feel like if you're trying to find common ground, that's one way to piss off
welcome to
the other side.
Well, the players have started making that their profile picture on social media.
I've seen that. They also
got rid of all stories regarding the players. Anything on MLB.com is now past players or like other stuff. Nothing from the players is on there.
Ichiro shows up at high school, blasts dingers. That's one of the headlines right now. Cool.
And by the way, someone is in on the text program, and I do love this because, like, when my brother comes in and does the shows with me, we have the Souks of Hazzard, and so now you'll be doing a bunch of shows. We're going to do Mondays and Thursdays together while Rob's off finding his roots. And someone said, you guys should refer to these shows as the SNL, Souk, Nemec, and Lynch. I like it. So this will be a SNL edition. So we were talking, you brought up the subject of should or will Kayvon Thibodeau sit out a bowl game, whether it's the Rose Bowl, certainly if it's the Alamo Bowl, right?
I would think.
And it's funny how if he sits out the Alamo, I bet no one has a problem with it. But if he sits out the Rose Bowl, then we'll be like, whoa, it's the Rose Bowl, when there's no difference between the two. But if the last 6 to 12 months of college football have cemented anything to me, and really you could say the last 15 years, but certainly just this last little bit, you've now have coaches with $100 million deals. You now have NIL deals where the Ohio State quarterback that came in, the freshman, Quinn Ewers, had basically $1 million worth of deals before he ever stepped foot on Ohio State's campus. Yep. You have no transfer rules now, basically. You can make a one-time transfer anywhere you want, right? And not have to sit out a year. And coaches seemingly don't care about anything anymore. You can leave basically whenever you want.
Brian Kelly left when his team could make the college football playoff.
Yeah, because he got $100 million. You know that and by the way, you've got coaches now making $10 million in base pay and getting, you know, $4 or $5 million homes paid for them. Alabama paid for Nick Saban's home. They paid it off. You know what a $3 million home in Tuscaloosa buys you? And I love the fact that they, like, Nick couldn't pay it off himself. So they're like, you know what, Nick, we've got this, right? So if anything has been hammered home, that there is no more I in team, like it is officially dead. You know, they always have that, oh, you know, there's no I in team. Yeah. And they're all there is anymore is I. There is no team. It doesn't exist. Team only exists in our minds. It exists in the fans' mind. Right? You're going to root for your school. You're going to root for the uniform. But that kid and that coach, there is no more loyalty. People aren't committing to schools anymore. This is about I. This is about building a brand. This is about what's best for you. When a kid goes to some place to play quarterback and he loses out on the job, we get so mad at him because he leaves and goes somewhere else. Guess what? That kid has 4 or 5 years to make the most out of his career. And we expect him to somehow honor a commitment to what? A school? Honor a commitment to a jersey? Why? When that kid, if he doesn't perform in a year or two, is actively getting unrecruited by his school, trying to get him out the door. This whole team concept is dead. This is an every man for ourselves at this point, and we're talking about kids and coaches. So I'm not going to fault Brian Kelly for leaving to take the LSU job. No one should, because they gave him $100 million. If someone came and offered me $100 million, I would leave in the middle of the show and drive over both of your legs to get where I need to go. And you would do it. Like you, it's just, it's $100 million, right? So if Brian Kelly or anyone else isn't going to be loyal to the school, and they're not going to be, and the athletic director isn't going to be loyal to anyone, why do we expect the kids to be any different? So to me, if Kayvon Thibodeau thinks that this is best for Kayvon Thibodeau, no one, and I mean no one, should have a problem with him sitting out any game, let alone one that essentially isn't meaningless. If they were going into the college football playoff and Kayvon Thibodeau said, you know what, my knee's a little sore, my back's a little beat up, hey, in 6 months from now, look, I'm getting ready to go on the job interview of a lifetime here with potentially a $30 million contract on the line, and you expect him to throw it away for some memories and a plastic trophy. I can't fault the kid for that. So that this we just need to get over this romantic idea of what we have in our heads about college football, because it's just professional football on a slightly different level.
So how do you police it? So here's some solutions for how we make it a little bit better. Part of the reason coaches are leaving before the playoffs, the college football playoff before their bowl games, is the early signing period,
yep.
Which is new.
Yep.
It's not a tradition. It's a new thing. You could make an early signing period in August before, like, hey, you don't want to take fall official visits? Fine. You can lock it in. If you're that set on where you're going, August. And then not another one until February. The reason it was originally in February is that gave teams time to finish the bowl games, and then teams that played in those January bowl games still had a month to go out on the recruiting trail. What we've got now, because of the December early signing period, is some teams are done. Look at Lincoln Riley. Lincoln Riley is in the homes of Ralik Brown, the five-star running back. He just went and saw, not the homes, the high schools. He just went to see Cyrus Moss. That's an Oregon recruit.
Yep.
They're going to have a hard time seeing him. They're practicing. So you get an advantage if your coach leaves in the middle, and that's what these, hey, if we're going to pay you $100 million,
go.
We want you on the recruiting trail before the early signing period. We don't want to wait. Something like 80%, roughly 80% of elite prospects, top 500 prospects, sign during the early signing period. So these coaches are leaving, and instead of practicing with all their coaches that have stayed loyal, they're on the recruiting trail and helping their future. So that's a problem. Get rid of the early signing period. Either move it up so that in August or July these kids can sign and be done, or get rid of it entirely. It didn't work. It has not worked the way that you want it to. The other thing, and no one's going to want to hear this, but you read articles on 24/7 and they're anonymous coaches, but they're every single conference said the same thing. They interviewed coaches from every single major conference, Power Fives and Group of Fives. We are actively de-recruiting our roster. We are actively telling players
yep.
things to get them off our roster. What you do to fix some of that, so there aren't so many kids in the transfer portal, because it's a misnomer that kids are in the transfer portal all because they want to play right away. That's not it. A lot of those kids would stay, and they'd stay through it. You have coaches saying actively, we are trying to de-recruit the bottom half yeah. of our roster.
You got coaches telling kids, you will not play here.
We will not play you.
Yes.
We will make you play on the scout team. Even if you play well, we will not play you. You will not play. Yeah. You need to go somewhere else. Get out. Actively, that happens at every school. And yep. if you think it doesn't happen at your school, you're naive. I called my sources in the Pac-12 and talked to coaches, and they said the same thing. Yes, of course that happens. Of course we're doing that with our players. So what you do, and no one wants to hear it because apparently school's not about graduation rates anymore. You set a graduation rate bar. And those guys count, if they leave, that counts against you in the transfer portal. And you don't have to make it 100%. You can make it 55% so that you're not booting out half your roster. And say, if you're below, for every 5 percentage points, you're below 55% graduation rates because you kicked all your kids to the portal, you lose one scholarship. If you're down at 15, you lost 8 scholarships. Do better than graduating 15% of your players. That's how you keep the transfer portal from clogging up. You move away that early signing period. That's how you keep coaches so we don't have madness in December. That's how you start to fix these things. Does college football care? Do these people care about in any way school? Do they care in any way about the players and their academic success? If they do, get rid of the early signing period so that coaches aren't leaving before their seasons are over, and set a moderate to low bar for graduation rates so college football programs stop admittedly trying to actively de-recruit half their roster. You can't do that if the graduation rate's even at like 64%. And again, for every 5% you're below that, you lose one scholarship, and watch how quickly that stops.
Those are rational. Those are well thought
out. They'll never happen.
And they'll never happen because you ask the question, do they care? And the answer is no.
Right.
And the only people that can make rule changes are the people in charge, and the people in charge have no interest in doing any of this because it hurts their interest. If you're an administrator, you're a coach right now, dude, you're loving life because the honeypot has never been bigger. And as soon as the college football expansion is announced in January, it's going to get that much bigger. And it's not that long before we see coaches making $15 million a year. It wouldn't surprise me in total compensation if we're already there. Because already we're getting people that are being announced at 10, 11 million bucks. And you know, behind the scenes, there's a lot more money being filtered into those coaches' pockets. All right, when we come back, we got Jason Quick. We'll talk a little Portland Trailblazers. He needs to give me something. He needs to give me something to pay attention to with Portland besides the fact that I can get into the San Antonio game for $6. Here, though, Lynch with SportsCenter.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Quicker, how you doing, my man?
Hi, Jason. How are you today?
We have too many Jasons in our life, don't we?
Yes.
Like the behind the curtain, Jason Quick is responsible for my special lady friend. And when he introduced me to her, her first thing she said to me was another Jason, because in their circle, there's like 6 Jasons already, and now they've added another one to the mix.
Yeah, I was like that all growing up and through like middle school and stuff too. There was always like 2 or 3 Jasons in my class.
I know. And like they act like it's my fault. I don't want the name Jason. That's the most boring, like plain, might as well be Jim or Joe. But what am I supposed to do? I was 6 minutes old when I got named. It's out of my control.
Hence Suk.
Yeah, hence Suk. I mean, even my middle name is Steve. That's just as bad. What's up, Steve? Yeah. All right, Quick, give me something to care about. We're, what, 22 games in, 11-11, like 10th place. It's $6 to get into the Spurs game. $6. Like, give me something to care about.
You know what? I'm being completely honest here. I've been doing this a long time, and this might be as stale and as uninterested as I've felt about going to the arena.
Yeah.
And that last game against Detroit was so hard.
Yeah.
It was so not entertaining. And just, I don't know. It's hit. I think every season kind of hits a lull at some point. I think this one's hitting a little earlier. They have played a ton of games in a short amount of time. So I think there's a little bit of fatigue factor. At least I blame some of that on Monday's game or Tuesday's game. But look, I think this is an intelligent fan base. And I think we all knew this coming in, like, why are they bringing back the same cast of characters? We've seen this movie before. We've seen the Dame and CJ iteration of this team for now 7 years, and this team has looked the same, has played the same, and we're getting the same results. And I think that is what is so frustrating to the fan base, is we're seeing the same things over and over. And you know, are they terrible? No. Are they excellent? Heck no. And you know, I think they've been able to, and by I say they, the front office ownership has been able to get by because they've been a playoff team and they have been able to, you know, kind of survive on those laurels. But I think people now are wanting more. And I don't think this roster is going to give it to him.
Well, I've always said that apathy is the worst thing you can have in sports. Like, you can give me a fan base that's over the moon and is too positive. Fine. You can deal with too high expectations. Give me a fan base that is too, I don't know, is too rowdy and boos. The Philadelphia fans, right? They'll boo anything. That's fine, because at least you care. There's passion there. But when you get into a fan base, you're the Tampa Rays at this point. Like, your fans don't care whether you're good or bad. They don't go to the games. And I feel like that. I remember looking at the photos from opening night. I remember opening night here in the Rose City being just, it was a thing.
It was an event.
It was an event. This is one of the best home crowds in the NBA. And I view Sacramento the same way back in the day in the Cow Palace. And now it's the same thing going on down there. It's just.
To be fair, it's like that all across the league. You know, I've traveled a fair amount this year, and most attendance is down. But I do, in Portland, I never thought that would happen. Because it is the only game in town, there is a deep connection with this franchise and the fan base. But yeah, I think there has it's become stale. This relationship has become stale. And, you know, but if you ask, you know, is there something to care about or to look forward to? For me, the entertainment in games has come when Anfernee Simons, Nasir Little, Larry Nance, when that second unit comes in. And so I think there's hope with the young guys. And that's why I think, you know, I haven't written a story on this team in almost 10 days, I think. And it's because I'm sitting here racking my brain of like, what can I write about? And I, you know, it's not because they're losing. It's like, I'm trying to be prudent in that. Okay, all teams have bad stretches. They are still trying to get used to a new coach and all that. But I think we're beyond all that. But still, my point is that I can't put my finger on one thing. But the thing I'm leaning more and more toward is this feels like it's over. And that it's time to see what you can get for CJ. See what Dame is worth out there. Is it time for a rebuild here? I don't know if I'm totally willing to go that far, but my mind has started drifting in those areas. Like, man, this feels so tired.
Yeah. Well, and quick, didn't you say 20 games was the line of demarcation you were going to look at?
Yeah. It's the first time where you could really have a nice body of work to evaluate. And after 20 games, it's not a great body of work. It's not a great they have not produced a great body of work. It's not very encouraging because the defense still sucks. And Dame and CJ have gone down, if anything. You know, that was supposed to be the big thing with Chauncey coming in. He was supposed to help the defense, and he was supposed to elevate Dame and CJ. Well, Dame and CJ have taken a step back under Chauncey. You know, the reasons for that, I don't know.
So we all can agree that something needs to happen, but when you have an ownership that seemingly doesn't care, you can say the same thing going up and with their other team. We were talking to someone up there and they said it's kind of the same feel. Yeah, something has to happen, but when there's someone in charge that seemingly we don't know if they care or not, will something happen? I mean, that investigation thing feels like it was forever ago and it just kind of disappeared.
Yeah, you know, I think we need to be careful about talking out both sides of our mouth here in regards to Jody Allen, because on one hand, we used to criticize Paul for being too hands-on and, you know, not letting the people do their job. Well, I think Jody's letting the people do their job. Just maybe they're not doing it very well. So I don't want to really pile on Jody for that because, you know, I remember a time myself saying, hey, Paul's being a little too hands-on. Let the guys you hired do their job. So I think you can run into a little danger there.
Sure, I get it. So the Lillard thing, you know, 10 days, is this – I mean, he's seemingly been battling this for a number of years. Is there anything else to this, or is this just, you know, we got a four-game stretch here at home and, you know, we're trying to preserve him for the first time and be smart about this?
Yeah, I think that's totally it. You know, Chauncey's been kind of battling with him to take time off here and there. You know, he said the first time they that he sat out the game. I think it was November 14th at Denver. He really had to kind of force it upon Dame and kind of convince him that, no, you need to take this time off because we're so early in the season. And I think the same thing with Detroit. And I know that after the Chicago game that Dame was talking, or his camp was talking about getting an MRI. And I haven't been able to hammer down if they did get an MRI after the Chicago game, but certainly, obviously, as the team announced, he did get an MRI this week, and it revealed, you know, whatever it revealed, that his abdomen is strained or
yeah,
you know,
like tendonitis. I think it was like tendinopathy or whatever it is they called it.
Yeah. So I think this is an attempt to get ahead of it and to see if an extended amount of rest can make it feel better. You know, he had this issue after the Olympics or during the Olympics, and he said he took 20 days off and he felt great. And he came into training camp and it was the best that situation had felt in the last 4 years. So that was 20 days of rest. Mm. So giving him 10 plus the 2 or 3 days that he had before this was announced, so maybe 2 weeks, I think they're going to see if he can get back on that feeling, you know, 100% again.
I know the fans certainly feel the frustration. We see the text rolling in here and just, again, the general apathy. Do you get the sense from players? I mean, we just mentioned Lillard, and he has reconfirmed that he's all in, but, you know, we're not that far removed from him having a pretty frustrated offseason. And, you know, here we go with the same cast, and he gave it said, hey, I'm all in, and I'm not bailing during hard times. But, you know, is there a fear that maybe not just him, but just in general, there's frustration growing with the team, or is that far too early to say?
I don't have a great pulse on that. It was startling to me, or noticeable to me, I should say, during the Detroit game, that it just didn't look like that team was having fun.
Yeah.
It was, you know, just no energy, no interaction with each other. They just didn't seem like they were enjoying playing basketball. And I think that's really a dangerous thing to be experiencing at the end of November, because this is a long season. It's really, really long. And if you're not enjoying what you're doing, then it's going to make it even more, more of a burden. And so, again, they just come off the road and we're playing a back-to-back. And I think that might have something to do with it, but still, you don't like to see those signs from a team. And again, I also, you know, as I was noodling around about what I'm going to write about this team, I do think it's important to have patience, because I remember, you know, one season with Gerald Henderson, and I was just like, oh my God, this guy's, he's done. He's looking terrible. Looks like it was a terrible trade. And then it took him until January for his hip to feel better. And then he was an amazing part of that team's turnaround in January. Same thing with Mo Harkless. He complained early in the season 1 year, fell out of the rotation, got put back in the rotation in February, and he kind of sparked a late season run. So it is an amazingly long season. People have to remember that. And just like you and I go through lulls and ups and downs with our moods and how we're feeling and how we're performing, I think the players do too. And so things can change, but right now, you know, it's hard to get through all that because it's right in front of us. It's just, and it's not that bad a product.
No.
It's just not moving. I'll tell you that. And it's not exciting. And I think that's the biggest thing. We're in the entertainment business, and this team isn't a very entertaining product right now.
No, it's the 12th season of a sitcom, and we've seen the plot lines all before, and we're tuning in simply because it was our favorite show, but we know it's not as good as it once was. I know we got to cut you loose real quick. The investigation thing, are we going to get like a conclusion one way or another, or does that just drift off into space?
Well, it's almost been a month now.
Yeah.
And you would hope that they would come through this, because – look, they've dragged this guy's name through the mud. You know, my sense and what I'm hearing from other people in the industry, agents, whatnot, they think Neil's going to survive this. But it has come at a price. You know, his name got dragged through the mud publicly for over a month now. And so I don't know. I don't have that on concrete information that he's going to has been told that he's going to keep his job. But you would hope that they would come out soon and say, this is what we found. This is our decision. And this is why we've made this decision.
All right. Well, we'll keep an eye on that. And hopefully you find something to write here. I feel for you because I don't have to talk about it if I don't want to. And I haven't wanted to very often. You have to find something to write. So good luck with that. And we'll catch up with you next week.
Okay. See you guys.
There's our Blazer Insider, Jason Quick. We come back, some breaking NFL news right here, 1080 The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Well, this just came across our desk. Antonio Brown suspended 3 games for his fake vaccination card. So there's Antonio Brown yet again. He might be the worst dude to play in the NFL. And I'm not talking about like just an accident. Because like you look at like what happened with Henry Ruggs or Leonard Little. I mean, they killed someone, right? I don't know if Henry Ruggs is a horrible human being. I know that Henry Ruggs is a really irresponsible human being.
He made a horrible mistake.
And made a,
a horrible decision. Mistake is.
Yeah,
that lets him off the hook.
Yeah, and that's not the first time you've done that.
Right.
Right. Like,
right.
You know, when you get caught with a DUI, it's not your first time. There's that, my favorite comedian has a joke. Kyle Kinane talks about this, that when you get a DUI, you're like, man, I can't believe this is costing me $10,000. Yeah, well, parcel it out between all of the times you should have gotten a DUI, and it's like $20. You're like, all right, that's fair. So, like, I put that aside. Like, Antonio Brown is just a bad human being. At every turn, whether it's, again, pulling the Deshaun Watson, speaking of bad human beings, like, how many times has that guy now been accused, and I tend to believe him, of sticking his either exposing his penis or touching his penis to someone that doesn't want to, employees of his? He stiffs everybody and won't pay any of his employees. And cursing out cops in front of his kids. Remember, he assaulted and barricaded himself in the house after refusing to pay the movers. What else has he done? And now this vaccination thing. Like, he's just a bad guy. Like, he is a royal pain in the ass. And now we've got this where he's coming up with fake vaccination cards. The only reason anyone puts up with this is Antonio Brown still is good at the game of football.
What's interesting about this to me, though, is the difference between the way Aaron Rodgers was treated and Antonio Brown. So Aaron Rodgers misled people, yes, but he didn't do it with a piece of paper.
Yeah.
He used it, he verbally misled people and did basically the same thing, said he was vaccinated when he wasn't.
Well, but I guess, though, the people in the Packers organization knew that he wasn't vaccinated. Antonio Brown presented to the
league.
But
reporters didn't.
Yeah, reporters did.
And that's who he's working with, that you're supposed to be protected. Like, he has to wear a mask in the building when he's doing interviews and stuff. So he still put people at risk. It's just the Packers were like, yeah, we don't care.
Yeah.
The difference is Tampa Bay thought he was vaccinated. That's the only difference. But they both misled people. Antonio Brown just had a fake card to do it. It's just weird that the suspensions, the punishments are so vastly different for Aaron Rodgers and Antonio Brown, because they both essentially did the same thing and put the same amount of people at risk. They just did it slightly differently. It's just the NFL is, who's the bigger face in the league, Aaron Rodgers or Antonio Brown? That's why the suspension.
I was surprised that Aaron Rodgers didn't get a game.
I did too. I am too.
I didn't know if he would get 3 games or anything like that. I'm actually surprised Antonio Brown got 3 games. And by the way, 2 other players did too. There was a safety Mike Edwards and receiver John Franklin III. The Bucks waived Franklin in August. He is currently not with any team. So it was 3 guys that got caught up into that. But yeah, I see where you're coming from on that. But I do think there is a difference between using some funky language, but your team knowing, and misrepresenting to your team, to the league, to everyone. That's like if I came, I don't know if that would be any different. If I told my company, oh yeah, I'm vaccinated, but then they're like, hey, we're requiring proof. And then I bring them a fake card. I get that.
It's slightly worse.
I think you're in the same.
It endangers the same number of people.
You're in the same ballpark.
Yeah.
But I think one's playing shortstop and one's playing maybe center field. I do think there's varying degrees, but you know, this dude's such a jackass. Antonio Brown really is just the definition of a jackass, but he can still play. And that's the one thing to always remember in sports. It's a sliding scale. Your level of whether it's creepiness, violent behavior, sexual deviancy, just overall dumbassness. It's all a sliding scale based on how good you are. And the better you are, the more you get away with. And it shouldn't be that way, but it is. And it's that way in a lot of walks of life, but certainly in sports.
And like Richie Incognito gets booted from Nebraska. He comes to Oregon.
Yeah.
Gets to Oregon. Doesn't even make it through the first weekend because he gets in a bar fight. And they said, if you get in any sort of trouble, you're gone. And he was gone the first weekend. I think he arrived Friday and was gone Friday night or Saturday night because he got in a bar fight. But made it to the NFL anyway because he's a dang good offensive lineman.
Yeah.
And he's had issues in the NFL as well.
He's had more than a handful of issues. This is a dude that wandered. Like, if you want to know the difference just in what talent does, right? You get Richie Incognito left in the day before the Super Bowl and went to Mexico and just like vanished. He also stared down cops. Remember, I think he might have gotten shot. He was the one that
I don't remember the shooting.
I don't know if he got shot or if he got tasered. He's the one that he growled at the cops when they found him like shirtless. Like, look up Richie Incognito. Like, he's had some.
He's a rough dude.
He's had some stuff. And then the whole situation down in. You know what? I'm sorry. That was Barrett Robbins. Apologies. I got my Raiders offensive line mixed up.
I mean, to be fair, do you really need to apologize to? I mean,
No.
Cut from the same cloth.
That was Barrett Robbins that went AWOL, and he did get shot. Barrett Robbins is the one that went AWOL for the Super Bowl and then ended up getting shot by cops. Incognito. Incognito was, he had the Jonathan Martin situation, mm-hmm. and he also had some mental stuff. Remember, he got caught by the cops beating up his own Ferrari with a baseball bat, and both have had some mental issues. And I just kind of got them twisted and turned in there. Look up the Barrett Robbins stuff. Sometimes it's horrifying. Like it's pretty sad. But again, if you can play, there will always be a place for you in the NFL. If you can play. All right, we come back. Let's make our picks. Dave Bartu joins us as we make our NFL and college picks against the spread. You're listening to Primetime here, 10 to the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.